We are starting a series of messages today from the book of Nehemiah, and the story and the series of messages entitled Building Blocks of the Kingdom, and today we're going to be looking at building block number one, which is prayer. Our text will be Nehemiah chapter 1, which we will get to in a few minutes. And of course, the story of Nehemiah is a very familiar one. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king of Persia. It was a most influential position because the cupbearer was trusted by the king. The cupbearer's responsibility was to make sure that the food and the drink of the king was safe to eat and drink. And so there was a position of great responsibility, a position of great trust. And in his influential position, Nehemiah was able to hear of news from his homeland. He was deeply concerned about the news that he received from his homeland of Israel, and particularly what he knew about the city of Jerusalem, because the walls of the city had been destroyed. That was from history. The Babylonians had destroyed and conquered Israel. They had taken the leadership in exile. The Babylonians had then been conquered by the Persians, and here we are in the Persian Empire, Nehemiah, cupbearer to the king, and Nehemiah is aware that his home city has been laid waste. The walls are destroyed. He is moved to tears when he hears the reports of his beloved city and how the city, the inhabitants are depressed, they are saddened, they are conquered, they... These are supposed to be the people of God. These are supposed to be the people who, with all of the joy, are worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Nehemiah comes to tears over his city because of the state that it is in. The walls are broken down. We in America, we don't appreciate walls that much, city walls that much. But we're learning from our mission trips to Haiti and from other third world countries how important walls are. Walls keep a lot of mischief and a lot worse from happening in societies such as third world countries and in the days of Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah was praying. Nehemiah was praying. He seeks the direction of God, and he is boldly going to approach the king in our text today to allow him to return to Jerusalem and to inspire the people to rebuild the walls, to restore the dignity of Jerusalem, to build up and encourage the people and to strengthen them, in short, to restore faith in God and to develop a kind of a revival among the people. As we think about the book of Nehemiah, there are many teaching themes that are to be found in the book. Among those teaching themes, we see the themes of leadership. We look at the leadership qualities of Nehemiah as he led the people through this revival process. And so we can understand the book from the standing of understanding leadership qualities of Nehemiah. In fact, Pastor Glenn took that approach in teaching the book of Nehemiah in our last Haiti mission trip in the pastor's conference. He talked about leadership qualities that are taught in the book of Nehemiah. Another teaching theme of the book is tackling a great building project. The book can be viewed as a kind of a manual to help in some great, to help get churches through great building projects. You know, when churches are in that position where they need to physically build a building, many pastors will turn to the book of Nehemiah to inspire the people. In fact, I have led a couple of building campaigns here at Westminster. I've led a couple of building campaigns in other churches. I've helped lead in some capital giving programs in a couple of other churches. And often Nehemiah is one of those books that is recommended for pastors during such times to think about using that as the outline for preparing the congregation to build. But this morning, as we think about the situation of Westminster Baptist Church, We realize that not all building projects are physical building plans. We are called upon, in fact, to cooperate with God as He builds His church. And when we talk about building His church, we are talking about building up the people of God. We face, in fact, many similar challenges in building up the people of God as Nehemiah faced many centuries ago in building that in that great wall-building project in Jerusalem. From the book of Nehemiah, through this series, we're going to learn how to face many of these ancient contemporary challenges that not only did Nehemiah face, but we face today. For instance, challenges such as, do we rely on God's strength? Are we utterly committed to prayer? Do we recognize that without prayer, nothing of eternal consequence is going to matter? Are we, the body of Christ, willing to put in the hard work to tuck up our sleeves and get to work to do the things that God calls us to do to build up His church? How do we handle discouragement? Nehemiah and the people of Israel face some discouragement. How do we face discouragement as we build up the people of God? How do we deal with internal strife? Nehemiah experienced that as well in his building projects. If there is strife within the church, how do we deal with that? How do we handle distractions in this world? We're going to see that Nehemiah faced some distractions, things that got the people off course a bit, and he had to bring them back. How do we face distractions, the distractions of this world? How do we challenge those distractions to keep ourselves focused on God? Are we willing to confess corporate sin? Nehemiah and the people of Israel had to do that in order for revival to take place. We shall see that in this series of sermons. Are we willing to invest in eternal things as opposed to just temporal things? Will we stay true to our promises to God? All of these kinds of challenges are challenges that we're going to see in this series of sermons from the book of Nehemiah. So over the next several Sundays, we're going to draw messages from this book. Basically, we're going to take one chapter a Sunday. And I believe we're going to find that many of the same principles that guided Nehemiah through Jerusalem's wall building project will guide us today in the building of Christ's church. So we're going to be looking at principles for building Christ's church. We're not talking about principles about building a wall. We're talking about building principles for building Christ's church that we will find in the book of Nehemiah. I think this is significant. This series of messages is significant for our church today because we find ourselves in a time of transition in our church. And I am convinced Christ wishes to build our church even at a time of great transition. We're transitioning with some new youth leadership in our youth program. As you know, I will be retiring at the end of this year, and so there will be new pastoral leadership in this church. And I'm sure there is perhaps some, I'm not sure what the word is, maybe anxiety about the future in the church. I know some anxiety, even from a personal level, thinking about what does God have in store for me post-retirement, because I'm not a person just to sit around and do nothing. And as I have, as the Lord has been leading me in different areas, I'm seeing some possibilities for some neat ministry opportunities in retirement that would not be available to me otherwise. But some anxiety, what is God doing in my own life? But what is God doing in the life of the church? What's the youth program going to look like next year? Who's going to lead the youth program? Of course, we have April and Charlie who are going to do that at least short term until we find the person to be on staff. What's the new pastor going to be like? What spiritual gifts, what natural talents is he going to possess? How are we going to chart our way through this process? PJ has been sharing a little bit, trying to keep us up to date on what is happening. How do we chart our course through this time? Will our church come out stronger in the end? I certainly hope so. That is what I think all of us are praying for. There's some anxiety, I imagine, but there are a couple of things that I think we're going to learn from the book of Nehemiah that I think should help guide us through this transitional time. We need to understand that the role of the church doesn't simply stop when there's a process of bringing on a new pastor. That Christ still wishes to build our church, even in a time of great control, a great transition, because I am convinced that God is in control, and I hope you are convinced as well. I hope you are convinced and well. Amen? There we go. Thank you. Okay. As in Nehemiah's day, God didn't abandon his people. They're going through a big transition process. They're going through a process in which God is trying to bring about revival in the land and restore the dignity of the people. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. And God didn't abandon his people. He was in control when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem as a punishment for her sins. And he was in control of a Persian king who did not acknowledge him, who yet has the power to grant Nehemiah's requests. God is in control. And I believe that even during this transition time in our church, God's in control. He intends to build up his church, because that's what Christ does. He builds his church. I believe it's time to trust God to do great things here at Westminster Baptist. Maybe another way of saying this is, transition doesn't mean a passive attitude of let's just wait and see what happens. Transition means now is the time to act. Let me expound a little bit on that. In Nehemiah's day, it was a time to make things happen. Nehemiah was calling his people to make some things happen. God was wanting to bring a revival to Jerusalem. He wanted to build up her walls. He wanted to bring back a dependence on God, to build up faith in God. He was wanting a spiritual revival as well as a physical revival of the city. It was time for all of the residents of Jerusalem and the surrounding regions to join together for the work of reviving the land. And today, this isn't a time, I think, in Westminster Baptist Church. It's not a time just to wait and see what happens. It's not time to see what others are going to do. This is a time to make things happen, to join in together with God to see what he wants to have happen in Westminster Baptist Church. And today, we're going to emphasize the fact this is the time to pray. In your bulletin, there is, as PJ pointed out, a series of prayer meetings upcoming. Dates, places are given, and some suggested prayer requests, things to be praying for, things to be prayed for as our church transitions, as we seek God's leadership, as we want to see God's hand at work among us during these days. This is a time to pray. It's a time for church members, I think, to put aside any personal agendas that we have, personal preferences, and to pull together to seek God's will for our church. It's a time to recommit lives to the Lord and to the church. It's a time to get involved in the church's ministry if you haven't gotten involved in the past. If you are currently involved in church ministry, this is a time to recognize that maybe if you've lost your passion for service in one particular area, you might need to discover some new area where God will give you a passion to serve that with excitement by the leadership of the Holy Spirit bear fruit. It's not a time to wait passively for several months or a year to take place to see what's going to happen. It's a time to actively wait on the Lord, not passively wait on the Lord. Nehemiah called the people to action. He called the people to organize, to rebuild the walls. He called them to work together and to serve together. It's a time to actively wait on the Lord, I believe, in our church, to jump into something new, perhaps, to see if that's what God uses to excite your heart, to excite your passion, to excite your energies into new ministries. Most importantly, this is a time to share your faith with the lost. This is not a time just to sit back and see what happens. This is a time, like any time, that we are to share our faith with the lost. This is a time to invite people to the church. This is the time to let others know how important Jesus is to you. If church members do not do these things, it won't make a whole lot of difference as to who the next pastor of this church will be. Isn't that true? It won't make a lot of difference if church members do not pull together and realize this is a time to act. This is not a time to just sit back and wait and see. In fact, I think an attitude that somehow in an interim situation for a church, that nothing much will happen in a church until the new pastors come. I think to have that kind of attitude is to have a grave to hold a grave mistake. And I believe that would in fact be an attitude offensive to God. Let us never believe that transition times are simply times for the church to put on hold. This is God's church. He wants to see this church thrive. He wants to see this church reaching people for Jesus Christ and discipling people. And there is no reason during a transition period that that cannot happen. In fact, we all should be praying that it should happen. Amen? You see, the mission of the church doesn't change as we move from one pastor to another. The mission of the church is still the Great Commission, that we go into all the world, that we make disciples, we teach them to obey the things of the Lord. Our mission statement is a kind of a Reader's Digest version of that Great Commission. We say we want to know God, to know Christ, and to make Him known. We want to experience the living Christ within us. We want to know Him personally. We want to understand His mercy and His grace, His justice and His love. We want to know Christ and we want the world to know it. We want to make Him known. So I've given a kind of a rather long introduction to my message today because this is the first in the series of sermons of Nehemiah. But I want us to turn now to the first chapter of the book where we're going to deal with this first contemporary challenge that's raised for us by the book. And what is that challenge? The simple challenge is, what role does prayer play in God's people building plans? What role does prayer play in God's people building plans? So Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Follow along as I read. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We've acted wickedly toward you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying that if you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there. I will bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. As we look at chapter 1 of Nehemiah, we see God's first building block for a healthy church, and that is prayer. I thank God for this church. Looking forward to being a member of this church many years in the future. God has blessed our ministry here. I am thankful for the privilege of serving for as many years as I have here. In many ways, our church is a healthy church, but no church is a perfect church, right? Every church has its strengths and has its weaknesses. And I think it is always appropriate for any church to be called to revival. And this series of messages is a call for our church to revival, even in the midst of some transition that is taking place. As we look at this first chapter of Nehemiah, we see that Nehemiah goes to the Lord in prayer. And I'm so thankful that many of our laypersons have gathered together recently and say, we really need to pray. I'm thankful for Nancy Bickle and Bob. And we had about 15 or so folks come together a couple of weeks ago and set up these home prayer meetings. And some of the meetings will be in the church simply because homes won't accommodate, you know, groups of people. And a recognition among us that unless we pray, nothing of any real significance is going to happen. And as we look at Nehemiah's prayer, beginning in verse 4 of our text, I just want you to notice Nehemiah prays passionately. He has heard what is happening in Jerusalem. And he weeps, he mourns, he fasted, and he prays before the God of heaven. He had a time of regular, intense, prolonged prayer in which his concern for his homeland, for Jerusalem, was just upon him. And it's my prayer for all of us here that we seek God's plans for the future here in this church, and that there be a passion among us to see this church not only survive, but to be a church that thrives in the future as new leadership and younger leadership takes its place. I want you to notice that there is confessional prayer here. in this chapter. Nehemiah confesses sin on the part of the nation. He says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself, my father's house, have committed against you. He talks about all of the things that had happened that led up to God's judgment at the hands of Babylon, and that judgment was deserved. You know, any true revival requires confession of sin and repentance. It was the nation's sin that led to God's judgment that got them into the mess that they were in. They were a conquered nation. Their capital, Jerusalem's in ruins. When we get to chapter 9 of Nehemiah, we're going to spend more time talking about corporate confession of sin and possible sins that maybe we as a church need to lay before the Lord. For now, let's just suffice it to ask, are you as a member of this church more concerned about the things being done God's way? Or do you insist on saying things need to be done my way? Sometimes we let our personal preferences get in the way of following the will of God. We're going to talk more about that when we get to chapter 9. But I'm afraid too often within today's church, worldwide and even locally, there's too much of us and not enough of God in many of the attitudes that we express in today's church. But that's a sermon for a little later in this series. Nehemiah would confess sin in prayer, and he had a prolonged prayer, but it wasn't just passionate prayer that he engaged in and confessional prayer that he engaged in, as we'll see again in chapter 9. But throughout the book, we see there is spontaneous prayer that Nehemiah engages in. I've given you about 10 different references in the Bible, in Nehemiah, where just out of nowhere, Nehemiah kind of breaks into a short prayer with God, to God. And it's like Nehemiah practiced what Paul wrote about in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when he says, pray without ceasing. For Nehemiah, any moment was a moment to pray. It was like he was so aware of the presence of God in his life, so aware of the presence of God in his life, that at any moment he just felt free to talk to God. And so to give you an example, for instance, in chapter 2, verse 4, 5, he prays for wisdom. The king speaks to Nehemiah. The king sees that he's troubled, and he says, what do you want? And the next words are, then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. This wasn't time for him to sit down for a couple of hours in his closet and pray. This was a time just for a spontaneous prayer. We don't even know what he prayed for, but it was probably something about, Lord, give me wisdom. Give the king a receptive ear. Just some spontaneous, quick prayer that he prayed before he answered the king. And throughout the book, we see these kind of spontaneous prayers. Sometimes he prays very quickly help me face some obstacle. You know, turn the insults of those who oppose us on their heads, Nehemiah 4, 4, and 5. Sometimes he'll say, remember them who oppose us, Father. You take care of them, basically, is what he said. You take care of those folks that are opposing us. Remember me, he says on a few different occasions. Remember me with favor, O God, for all I have done for these, my people, Nehemiah 5, 19. He's basically saying, God, I just want you to notice, I am really trying to serve you and follow you. Please take note. I'm really trying to follow you. And I hope that's the heart of every member of our church. We really want, above all things, to see God's work take place here. So we have these upcoming prayer meetings. Oops, There we go. Some upcoming prayer meetings that are dates listed. Again, I'm so thankful for the Bickles and for those other folks who have agreed to host these prayer meetings in their homes. Have some small group time. You know, it's really hard getting a church together at one time during the week for prayer. But you know what? When you have multiple opportunities for prayer, greater numbers of our church family can be involved in prayer. And, you know, we're looking at these prayer meetings for them to be lay-led prayer groups for the spiritual health and revival of our church. And not a Bible study, though we may start out with a short passage of Scripture. There will be hosts and hostesses who will host these meetings. And, you know, this isn't a time for gossip or criticism of others in the church. This is time to be praying for us and to be praying for our church. These aren't going to be marathon prayer meetings. We're designing them to be a half hour, 45 minutes of prayer. Not going to be all night on our knees. We're going to keep it fairly short. We're encouraging what we call popcorn prayers, you know, pop, pop, quick prayers. Just a couple of sentences on one subject at a time, letting other people pray. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting where one person prays for 30 minutes and has exhausted every known possibility of prayer? Well, not quite, but you feel that way. And you know, and then it's time for everybody else to pray. No, we don't want it dominated that way. Just praying for one thing. Father, we pray for unity in our church, that together we honor you as we make these transitions in our church. We pray, Father, for our search team, PJ, and all those who are listed, short prayers, one subject at a time. There'll probably be somebody who's going to be designated as the closing prayer, you know, after the allotted time or when things have quieted down. Would you close us with prayer? And we're giving you some suggested prayer requests. And this is a time for us to just kind of fellowship together. Some of the greatest fellowship that you can have is when you pray together and you eat some food together and just spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ and love one another and get to know one another better. This is a time to pray as we transition. The first building block for a healthy church is that we pray for God to be at work in and through us. These are prayers for the spiritual health and revival of our church. It is prayer for us to be more passionate for the things of Christ, to involve ourselves more in the work of the Lord, to confess any poor attitudes that we need to make or to repent and to make personal changes. This is a time for us to encourage fellowship among one another and the fellowship that includes praying for one another. This is a time to that will be informational, that our search team may give some updates disseminated through these groups for prayer. You see, these building blocks for building a healthy church are like a challenge for us. A challenge. And the question that I want to ask you is what I wanted you to understand is the first building block challenge for a church to be moving forward and to grow and to experience revival is prayer. And so the challenge today is for each person in this room. Will you passionately and will you earnestly begin to pray for Christ's building project, his people building project? Because that's what Christ is all about in building his church. It's a people building project. Will you earnestly and passionately pray for Christ's people-building project during this time of transition? And, you know, when you pray for the church, you realize, first of all, you're praying for yourself because you are part of the church. And if you pray for the church to be on fire for Jesus, where does that have to start? right here, right? If you're praying for the church to be on fire for Jesus, it has to start here. As we go through this time of transition, let's pray that we get ourselves on fire for Jesus, not concerning ourselves at first about what others need to do to get themselves on fire for Jesus, but we first concern ourselves about what we need to do to get ourselves on fire for Jesus, and then let the fire spread to others. Doesn't that sound like the way that Jesus would want it to happen? It's got to start within us. Will you pray that God might begin in you a personal people-building process that advances the kingdom of God and His church? Will you accept the challenge? Will you commit yourself privately to pray? Will you commit yourself to be a part of some of these prayer groups? Because there is power in prayer. We say we believe that. There is power in prayer. Where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them also. Will you accept the challenge of the first people-building building block for a transition in our church to pray? Our invitation today is going to be a little different than usual. For my invitation today, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you all to stand. And I'm going to ask you to come forward and gather around the front. Come in close. I'm going to ask one or two people to just lead us in prayer for God's people-building project in Westminster Baptist Church as we transition in some new directions in our congregation. And then I'll close in prayer. And the invitation, as always in our church, of course, is to, if there's anyone here who wishes to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, wow, what a great day to do that. I can think of no better day than right now to do that. But the larger invitation to all of us here is to accept the challenge of the first of the building projects, to accept the challenge of Christ's people-building project, of building His church, to be praying passionately and earnestly for that. I'm going to ask all of our members to come forward. If you are visiting with us for the first time, feel free to do whatever you wish. You can remain at your seat. You could come forward and pray with us. We'd appreciate any kind of prayers that are for our congregation. But all of you, feel free to do as you wish. But I'm going to ask our church members, if you would come forward today, that we can pray together to accept the challenge that this time of transition is not a time to wait and see. It is not a time to be passive. It is a time to be active, and it is time for us to passionately and earnestly pray that God continue to do His work among our congregation in the months ahead. So would you stand? Would you come forward, please? If you are a regular attendee with us, you're certainly welcome to come. Feel free, however you wish. God is in this place. He hears your prayers, whether you're here or there. I think it's time as a church for us to come together and say, God, we want you to be at work in us during this time. I have not pre-planned who I've asked to pray, but you know, we do not have time for everyone in our room to pray. But Mark, I'm going to ask if you would lead us to pray, and I'm going to ask one other. I'm going to ask Bob Bickle. I did ask you earlier, Bob, if you would lead us in prayer, and then I would close. So Mark, would you lead us, please? Yes.
Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would put on the armor of God daily, and with a loving, sure heart for you, come to glorify you and to honor you forever.
Yes. Our Father, I pray that as we go through the book of Nehemiah, that, Lord, you help us to discern some other building blocks and to be challenged to commit to those building blocks so that your great building, people-building project of the Great Commission may be carried out in and through us. Father, the walls of Jerusalem were torn down. Father, I pray that you perhaps start with us by tearing down some of the sin that is in our lives. Tear down attitudes that would not be advantageous for your kingdom. Help us, Father, to break down any walls within our church family. And then you build us up, Father. We pray, Father, that as you build us personally, that our greatest desire might be not self-satisfaction, but our greatest desire might be to satisfy you and to serve you and to take part again in your great people-building project of the Great Commission. Father, I pray for every individual in our church that you will inspire us, Father, to renew our efforts in service to you. That, Father, you give us, restore energy, restore our passion, restore our desire, Father, to see the lost one to you. Father, I pray that basically you bring us revival. That this is a time, Father, as we consider the future of their church, that we cannot simply be dependent on a new person coming to lead. That revival has to begin in us. And so, Father, I pray for our church. I thank you, Father, that as we together serve in this church, Father, that everything be done to your glory. We pray for it to thrive. We pray for it, Father, to be a church that brings pleasure to you, Father. May you be our first love. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. May God's blessings be on you today. That's how we're going.